الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, His companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path, with the abundance of blessings and peaces to be descended upon them inshallah, and those who follow them. May Allah make us among those who follow them. We continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya, and needless to say, everyone is expected to have quite understood what the last class was about. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Obviously it was about the fact that we, what is it called in Arabic? And in English it's called depending or putting your trust in. In Arabic it's called?
Tawakkul.
Tawakkul. Tawakkul. Hey, and we said that it comes from the word يعني وكل الشيء أي فوضه, meaning to entrust someone with something linguistically. Then we said what it means in when it in context, in the context of the Islamic legislation. Tawakkul means a couple of things. Can anyone give us a nice summarized definition based on what the Shaykh had explained?
What is he mentioned already? Truthfulness in dependence upon Allah.
Aywa.
To bring out goodness and forbid evil.
Aywa. There's a continuation. Very, very crucial. Along with? You sleep?
No. You have to rely on Allah and you have to try.
You have to utilize the means. You have to exert yourself.
The hadith, you told the camel.
Aywa. Follow with the, you have to go, you know, try to use the reasons. The reasons Allah gave you as part of the hikmah of Allah, and is yani what Allah had and through His wisdom decreed in this worldly life, that you have to do things to get things. So someone who wants to have children, huh? Cannot wallah sit at home and say, I'm not gonna get married, I have tawakkul on Allah that I'm gonna have a son. Yeah, I mean, you have to go get married and, you know, do the whole process, and then you do tawakkul on Allah to bring about the child. But, you know, say you have a trust in Allah without utilizing the means, they say this is feeble-mindedness, you know, it's not really intelligent. Furthermore, the other extreme, other side of people are those who are very much dependent on reasons, and they forget about the part where Allah is the one who controls things, and they don't really depend on Allah. So they're always going with the means. They're always concerned about the means. This medicine worked, this medicine didn't work, and things of the sort, without thinking that Allah is the one who makes the medicine effective or otherwise. So then we travel on a middle path. It's the truthfulness and dependence on Allah. Because we know that Allah is the only one who brings good and prevents harm while utilizing the means. There must be some utilizing of means in order to be truly doing the tawakkul. To be in a state of tawakkul, we said it's a ibadah. It's a form of worship. Badaniya or qalbiya? Is it badaniya or qalbiya?
Tawakkul, qalbiya.
Qalbiya. No one sees how much dependence you have on Allah. I cannot see the level of tawakkul. So to say, you know, it's not something that is that appears on one of us. It's something that they have in the heart, like fear of Allah, love of Allah. Are these called ibadat, qalbiya? Acts of worship that are pertaining or relevant to the heart. Now of course, because of their presence, they may show on the person through other acts of worship, but not the act of worship itself. You know, no one can tell by your appearance how much you love Allah. But because of your love of Allah, you may do things that indicate that you love Allah. So just, you know. طيب, so this is clear, I hope. And of course the verse, what was the verse that was the theme of this particular understanding? What was the verse we quoted, or the Shaykh quoted? وعليكم السلام. ها
توكل
وتوكل
سورة الهود.
لا, سورة الفرقان. وتوكل على الحي الذي, وعليكم السلام,
سورة الفرقان.
ايوه, وتوكل على الحي الذي لا يموت. And depend on the ever living who never dies. And of course we went into this description of why, you know, the basis of this understanding that Allah is the ever living, the difference of Allah's life versus our life, how our life is deficient in many ways. Allah's life, subhanahu wa ta'ala, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, is complete in the ultimate sense. And I'm sure all this is from last week, and all this is clear, bi-idhnillah. طيب, today we will be dealing with the verse in Surah Al-Tahrim, verse number 2. Surah Al-Tahrim, verse number 2. This is a quotation of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in his matin, in the original book Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, after he dealt with Ayat Al-Kursi and Surah Al-Ikhlas and a number of other things that we mentioned. Now we deal with Uaywa. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Again, we are trying to understand the names and the attributes of Allah according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, according to the people of Sunnah who do not deviate in their understanding of Allah's names and attributes, let alone deviating in acts of worship and other things. Because of course we know the deviations of many kinds. Some of them relevant, alaykum salam, some of them are relevant to acts of worship, some of them pertaining to aqidah, some of them pertaining to otherwise. So here, this book, we're dealing with the names and attributes of Allah. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is the all-knowing, the all-wise. What does that mean? Let's see what the Shaykh says. الشرح, explanation. قَوْلُهُ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ. سَبَقَ تَعْرِيفُ الْعِلْمُ. We already explained ilm before. And as one of the definitions that they give, هو ضد الجهل. It's the opposite of ignorance. And it is knowing what the thing is about in the ultimate sense. And not any knowledge is beneficial knowledge. Because many people have knowledge of falsehood. You may have a very knowledgeable Christian missionary, huh? Who knows a lot of verses of misguidance and deviance, and he knows how to take you straight to the hellfire through knowledge. So that knowledge is not praiseworthy. And some of the Muslims may have knowledge of bid'ah and innovations and things that are not part of the deen. Huh? This again, knowledge is not praiseworthy. When we speak about knowledge, we're speaking about knowledge of the Qur'an and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the righteous predecessors, the real knowledge in the real sense, and knowledge pertaining to Sharia also, not worldly knowledge, because that may be good, it may be bad. So this is what is intended by knowledge. The Shaykh said, وَسَبَقَ أَنَّ الْعِلْمِ صِفَةَ كَمَالِ. Being knowledgeable is an attribute of perfection. It's a good attribute to be knowledgeable, because no one wants to be ignorant. Obviously, you all know what I'm saying. وَسَبَقَ أَنَّ عِلْمَ اللَّهِ مُحِيطٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We have already mentioned that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses some things or everything. 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 The little minute details that we don't even know. Right now, as you're sitting here, how many hairs do you have on your body? Allah knows. How many red blood cells and white blood cells? Huh? Or what is the third one? Plasma? Whatever. Every single thing in our body, in everything around you. We said the carpet, we used the example for even the carpet, the fiber, or the fabric, whatever it's made up of. Each one of them, Allah knows them. Knows the amount of dust upon each one of these hairs. Yani just knowledge encompassing everything. So we must understand that properly. That's the first thing. And pertaining to وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ, huh? The all-knower, the all-knowing or the all-knower, they use both as translation. Al-Hakim, the all-wise. The Shaykh will deal extensively with this quality, Al-Hakim. And we will see what he says. أَمَّا الْحَكِيمُ هَذِهِ الْمَادَّةِ حَا كَاف مِيم. Hakim comes from the very root basic Arabic word, the combination of the three letters, حَا كَاف مِيم. Now of course it depends, when you combine them it became حَكَمَ يَحْكُمُ حَكِيمًا إِلَىٰ أَخْرِهِ. There's a lot of derivatives from the root word. But this is the root word. تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ حُكُمْ وَأَحْكَامْ. It means, linguistically now, again we're dealing with this linguistically, meaning ruling and إِحْكَام, to perfect something. When you do something with إِحْكَام, meaning with profession, with professionally doing something professionally in the ultimate sense. فعلى الأول يكون الحكيم بمعنى الحاكم. So according to the first meaning in the Arabic language, الحكيم means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is الحاكم, the judge. Because we said ruling. So the first meaning is ruling, so Allah becomes as a حكيم, the judge, because He's the one who rules, obviously. وعلى الثاني الحكيم بمعنى المحكم. And the second meaning from the language, الحكيم meaning محكم, that which is professionally done. طيب, يعني attributing that to the passive voice as opposed to the active. نعم. إذا يدل هذا الاسم الكريم على أن الحكم لله. The first thing that we understand,
محكوم, I didn't understand. محكوم.
Not محكوم, محكم. done with perfection. You know, kitabun. Allah, when described the Quran, He said muhkam. Subhanallah. Aywa. لا, there's another one. Uhkimat ayatu. Anyways, you have to refer back to it. But what it means, it's done with perfection, with professionalism. Okay, there's no deficiency, there's no fault, no shortcomings. When something is done in the ultimate sense, yani you build the car and you really make the car, you know, everything is outstanding.
Okay.
There's no faults. So you say muhkam, this car is done in such a way versus something that is, you know, lousy. Wallahu a'lam. إذن يدل هذا الاسم الكريم على أن الحكم لله. The first thing we learn from this attribute, that judgment belongs to Allah. Judgment belongs to Allah. ويدل على أن الله موصوف بالحكمة. Furthermore, indicates the word حكيم, the attribute حكيم, that Allah is described with wisdom, حكمة. لأن الإحكام هو الإتقان. Because we said إحكام is to perfect something. إتقان, when you do something in a perfect sense, without any shortcomings. وَالْإِتْقَانُ وَضُعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ. And that means you put everything in its proper place. When you put everything in its proper place, meaning you've done it properly, with perfection, that is what wisdom means. That's why a lot of the ulama, when they define حكيم, الحكمة, you say somebody has been given the حكمة, حكمة وَضُعُ الْأَشْيَاءِ فِي مَوَضِعِهَا أو فِي الْوَضْعِ الَّذِي اللَّائِقُ بِهَا. To place things in their proper place. يعني you have a puzzle, and you have one missing piece, hikmah is that you put the piece right there in the missing part. You don't put it on the side, you don't keep it in your pocket, you don't throw it at someone or something along these lines. These are anti-hikmah. So hikmah is doing the right thing in the sense of da'wah, saying the right thing at the right time, knowing the environment, what to say. A lot of things come into place, and all of us are full of shortcomings. Wallah al-musta'an. Al-muhim. لأن الإحكام طيب في الآية إثبات حكم وإثبات حكمة. So in the ayah, in this word حكيم, we are confirming two qualities, two things. The first one is judgment for Allah, and the second one is wisdom for Allah. So when you say al-hakim, it means both the all-wise and the ultimate judge. Now, you would not really usually read this in the average translation or the interpretation of translation of the interpretation of the Quran, because this is extensive study. As it was the methodology of the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala. فالله عز وجل وحده هو الحاكم. So Allah عز وجل alone is the ruler, the judge, the one who judges. وحكم الله إما كوني وإما شرعي. And the judgment of Allah is of two kinds. Either كوني, universal, pertaining to the universe. That's what we don't mean by universal, meaning like Universal Studios or something that is all over the world. طيب, what we mean by universal, meaning dealing with the creation, the universe, not legal. وشرعي, legal. Is that clear? Universal, it doesn't mean that from all countries. Allah's universal law, for example, is what Allah decreed in the creation from the word universe. The universe includes everything. The heavens and everything that Allah created is the universe. طيب. So universal meaning pertaining to the creation, that Allah had decreed that you get so much sustenance, that this animal lives that long, this cat got run over, طيب. This person falls off the building, this person gets in a car accident. Each one has his the hukum of Allah, Allah's judgment universally. Well, you cannot, you know, there's nothing. There's the other one, the legally, do's and don'ts. Worship Allah, don't ascribe partners. Establish the salah, don't abandon it. Pay the zakah, don't hold off. You understand what I'm saying? So two kind of judgments. A universal judgment dealing with the universe, not universal as we explained earlier, and shar'i, legal, or legislative, whichever word you prefer to use. But it's the law. Basically the law, the sharia of Islam, those who are coming to the Tuesday class know what I'm talking about. Now. فحكم الله الشرعي ما جاءت به رسله ونزلت به كتبه من شرائع الدين. The judgment of Allah, the legal judgment of Allah, is that which the messengers have brought and what Allah has sent down from in the books and the scriptures from the law. The commandments of the scriptures of Musa alayhi salam, the gospel of Jesus, which we don't have nowadays, but these were all hukum, the judgment of Allah, legally, what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. طيب.
Gospel of John, you cannot say that he is over the whole world, because the Gospel is them. John was not that prophet.
Who said John?
Jesus.
Jesus. Malice, man, no problem, man. That happens sometimes. I'm like, who's John? Malice, maybe. Yeah, Jesus, John, they sound the same. Maybe I talk too fast. It's probably my fault. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, Isa, the son of Mary. We don't have it today. وحكم الله الكوني ما قضاه على عباده من الخلق والرزق والحياة والموت ونحو ذلك ونحو ذلك من معاني ربوبيته ومقتضياتها. As for the universal one, is basically what Allah had decreed will happen to his slaves pertaining to creation, who will be created, who will come into existence, rizq, sustenance, who will be sustained, how much, the amount and what have you, from what source, al-hayat, who will remain alive, who will be given life, whether the life of physical or even the spiritual. Someone who is a kafir then guided to Islam by the decree of Allah. That's a person who just was born in essence. ونحو ذلك and other things of this sort, يعني similar things, من معاني ربوبيته ومقتضياته, the things that we deduce from Allah's lordship and the things that are a byproduct or the consequence of that, meaning everything dealing with the Allah being the Rabb. Right, and we said Tawheed is three categories, if you remember: Rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah; Uluhiyyah, Allah being the one deserving of worship; and Asma'ul Sifat, which is what this book is about, the names and attributes. So everything pertaining to Allah's Rububiyyah, from creation, sustenance, sovereignty and what have you, these all fall under the judgment of Allah, the universal one. Dalil al-Hukm al-Shara'i. Now of course, again, can a Muslim ever make all this breakdown on his own without any evidences? No. You cannot just come with things on your own. You must have an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah for this division, for you to make this particular explanation. The Shaykh will give us an example of each kind of the hikmah or hukm of Allah. The first one, دليل الحكم الشرعي, the legal, the legislative one. عفوا. قوله تعالى في سورة الممتحنة, verse 10. ذلكم حكم الله يحكم بينكم والله عليم حكيم. That is the judgment of Allah. He judges between you, huh? And He is the all-knowing, and Allah is the all-knowing, the all-wise. So here, what does the verse say? This is the judgment of Allah. He judges between you. Pertaining to what? Pertaining to halal and haram. Huh? The judgment of Allah pertaining to what you're supposed to do, because very often the companions will come to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and will ask him about something that there's no legislation, there's no law about yet. No revelation. Then Allah will reveal. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ. They ask you about alcohol, they ask you about gambling, say such and such and such. So here is the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal, the legislative one. What you are supposed to do pertaining to the do's and don'ts in the law. And that is the evidence for that. Now we get the evidence of the other one. وَدَلِيلُ الْحُكْمُ الْكَوْنِ. The evidence for the universal judgment of Allah. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ أَحَدِ أُخْوَةِ يُوسُفِ. In the chapter of Joseph, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned one of his brothers, you know, when they went back to Yusuf and he told them that I will not release your brother until you bring another brother of yours and what have you, because they claimed that they made him think that they stole something. You know the story, of course, if you read the Quran. Anyways, what did he say? قَالَ فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. He said, therefore I will not leave this land until my father permits me, or Allah decides for me. Allah decides for me. Yani by for releasing Benjamin, which was the name of his brother. And Allah is the best of judges, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most knowledgeable, the all-knowing, and the best of judges. So here, it is not some law that will be revealed upon him. Rather, it's the decree of Allah. What would Allah decree for me? The judgment of Allah, and what will happen? Which is, we are all subdued to that. You know, you do not have any control of the future, of the qadr. It's the judgment of Allah. If Allah judges that a calamity will befall upon you, can't do nothing about it. If Allah judges that a calamity will be removed off you, alhamdulillah. So at the end of the day, this kind of judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have no control of it. It is strictly universal. Whereas a legal one, you have been given a choice. You want to do it? Ahlan wa sahlan. You're the one who will benefit. You want to abandon it? Ma fi mushkila. But you will suffer the consequences. That's something we understand. You can do it. You want to have fun? Go have fun. You want to play? You can play. You don't want to study? You don't want to learn the deen? You don't want to pray? ما في مشكلة. People all over the world disbelieving in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them. Because the dunya doesn't matter in the sight of Allah. But on the day of judgment, it will, nobody will come and say, oh, but I didn't know, but ما في. Now on that day, no one will, ولا هم يستعتبون. No one will be given the chance to, you know, no need for speech. They'll only be given, they'll only be reprimanded to make them feel more guilty and to make them feel bad and more regretful for abandoning the commandments of Allah. That's why you see some verses, well, they'll be asked and they'll say, oh Allah, take us back. And if we did, then it was these people who misguided us. And they will say, no, it's you that misguided us and we had no control over you. You hear all kinds of disputes on the day of judgment because they were given the free will today. So the qadr of Allah, you have no control. Huh? The hukm of Allah in terms of universe, the universal one, you are subdued. The legal one, everyone has the free will. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَقُولِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say this is the truth from your Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whoever wills, let him believe. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And whoever wills, let him disbelieve. Allah. Huh? إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. But what happens on the day of judgment? They will be encompassed by the fire. So Allah told us that they will be given the chance today, but then the outcome will be on the day of judgment. So may Allah protect us from deviance and keep us upon the path so we will accept the decree of Allah both universally and legally. So be among those who are successful inshaAllah. Al-Muhim. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. In what surah is this? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Surah At-Tin. Verse 8. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ. Come on man, I know, it's tricky, I know. فَشَامِلْ لِلْكَوْنِي وَالشَّرْعِي. The Shaykh said, as for that verse, it actually combines both. الشَّرْعِي, the legal one, وَالْكَوْنِي and universal. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, which means, is not Allah the best of judges? This includes both. Allah is the best of judges in terms of what He decrees in this universe of His. And Allah is the best of judges in terms of the law that He had decreed. And He had sent it down upon us. فَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ حَكِيمٌ بِالْحُكْمِ الْكَوْنِي وَبِالْحُكْمِ الشَّرْعِي. So Allah is the most wise and the ultimate judge, both universe in the universal judgment and in the legal judgment. وَهُوَ أَيْضًا مُحْكِمٌ لَهُمَا فَكُلُّ مِنَ الْحُكْمَيْنِ مُوَافِقٌ لِلْحِكْمَةِ. And He has done both of them on the ultimate perfection. So both of them are with wisdom. Whatever Allah decrees, even the calamity, and of course we always refer to the current situation of the Muslims, so we will understand, because we don't just want to feel bad. You know, you see some of the emails people send you about our brothers and sisters in Palestine, and you just feel grief in your heart, and then you feel handicapped. Huh? But in reality, we try to understand these current events in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, so we will know what should be our reaction, our proper reaction. Here, we know, if you truly believe that Allah is the most wise, and Allah is the best of judges, even in every aspect, even in what happens in the universe, then you will know that what is happening today is good for the Muslims. Not on the front screen, huh? It's beyond that. It doesn't have to be immediate. There's no ultimate evil. Everything in the creation of Allah, even the thing that may appear evil outwardly, there's goodness in there. Now people may see it, they may not. It may come soon after the event, it may come years after the event. Maybe something happened today that was the result of some evil that happened, you know, 300 years ago. And it affected the Muslim community in such a sense, until today the fruits were seen. But we don't know about that. You see? So when you believe in that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the best judge, you will feel a source of comfortability. Yeah, we know that they're suffering, and we continue to feel bad and wish to do more for our brothers and sisters, but at the same time, we also know that this is going to be good for the Muslims. This is means of rising, means of unity. Hey, people are, man, the Muslims all over the world, you feel like they're one body, just as we were described in the Sunnah, in the Hadith, that we're supposed to be one body. When one part, you know, is pain and in pain, the rest of the body is there, you know, staying up at night and making sure that this part is feeling well. And we have lost this for the longest time, you know. Even right now, we still have this problem. Obviously, we and you are having so much fun, in our daily life in terms of eating and drinking and, you know, going maybe still, you know, with our children, as if nothing's happening, as if no Muslims are dying at the same moment, because we don't have this hadith in the ultimate sense because of the weakness of our iman and Allah musta'an. Nonetheless, we're starting to wake up though. Huh? Maybe with this event, the Muslims will continue to be aggravated by these kuffar until they reach a point where we will no longer play around. Huh? There will be no more games. You want to play games, we will show you who play games with the kuffar. But this is now is starting the fire. This is starting the wake up. Otherwise, everybody's asleep. And one of the people mentioned, yani, we have been deprived. All these years, Muslims is, you know, eating, drinking, sleeping, you know, nothing. And Allah takes the martyrs as the close ones to Him. And no one, how many people have been given the honor of dying as martyrs? Look at the companions, how many of them died in this way? They wished for that. Now we die on our bed with sicknesses and diseases. And we're losing the ultimate thing in this life. You know, this ultimate death, because this will give you the best in the hereafter. All your sins are forgiven. You know, I'm not going to tell you about Hur al-Ayn, how many women you get in Jannah. Everybody knows that. So they make fun of us, the disbelievers, that the Muslims think that if they die as a martyr, he's going to get... Hey, yes, man! Because you don't believe... Not you, I'm sorry. Because they don't believe, they think it's a joke. But we know that this is the ultimate goal. You're going to die anyways. As one of the du'at said. He said, those who are doing jihad, they're going to die. And you are going to die. Both of you are going to die. But look at their and look at yours. Really, this, it sounds better the way they're having it. Yeah, obviously. So anyways... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this happens to the Muslims for good things, inshaAllah. They may not be immediate. It doesn't mean that we just walk around laughing because we know goodness is going to come. We still deal with the situation according to the reality of the situation and the pain. But at the end of the day, we know that this is not pure evil. There is goodness that will come bi'idhnillah. Sooner or later, inshaAllah, we will see it maybe in our generation. Maybe our descendants will see it later on. Allah knows best. لكن من الحكمة ما نعلمه ومن الحكمة ما لا نعلمه. The Shaykh said, huh, but among wisdom are things that we know, and among wisdom are things that we do not know. Just as we mentioned right now, there are things that we do not know. لأن الله تعالى يقول وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. Allah says, and of knowledge, you have only been given a little. We have only been given little knowledge. Very limited. So there are many things that we do not know that are part of the wisdom of Allah that we do not know. You know, like of course this example is given often, and you can relate to it. Let's say it's hypothetically speaking, you wanted to fly, go back home, you know, on vacation, and you did all the means to travel, and you try to book the ticket on time, and blah blah blah. Yeah, it didn't work. You know, they didn't give you the khuruj, the exit visa, and there was delay, and you start, you know, getting upset, and this is a life opportunity, and blah, blah, blah. And then one of many things can happen. Either the plane crashes, huh? Say, oh, mashallah, alhamdulillah, it's good that it didn't work out for me. Or, you know, some problems happen in your country, in the country you were going to go to, and Allah protected you while being safe back here. So sometimes, back then now, try to tell someone who did not get the chance to go this, he will not really digest that. Say, no man, goodness is me going there, my mother needs to see me, my blah blah blah, they will give you all this stuff. But in essence, huh, it could have been the other way around. So because we don't have knowledge of the outcome of things, we may not really know what the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entails. But this is a fact that people live, yani, they realize that when Allah did not allow something to happen universally, it was for their own benefit, and vice versa. Now, ثُمَّ الْحِكْمَةُ نَوْعَانِ. Then we further divide. Knowledge is of two kinds. I mean, wisdom is of two kinds. حِكْمَة فِي كَوْنِ شَيْءٍ عَلَى كَيْفِيَتِهِ وَحَالِهِ الَّتِي هُوَ عَلَيْهَا. حِكْمَة, meaning the thing being in the state, or the status that it is in at the moment. The state that this thing is in. We will see. كَحَالِ الصَّلَاةِ, like the salah. The condition, the state of the salah. فهي عبادة كبيرة. It is a major act of worship. تسبق بطهارة من الحدث والخبث. It is preceded by purity, by being purified from, you know, letting gas or urinating or defecating and what have you from the things that nullify the wudu. And furthermore, from impurity, outward impurity, like having on your clothes, you know, urine or something along these lines. Both, you have to do the wudu to cleanse yourself, and you have to clean your environment. You cannot wear clothes that are dirty, in a sense that they have najasa. You know, you cannot pray on the ground that a dog just licked the ground and moved on. Things of the sort. طيب. وتؤدي على هيئة معينة من قيام وقعود وركوع وسجود. And it is performed in a particular way. It has a certain appearance. طيب. From standing and sitting and bowing and prostrating. وكالزكاة, another act of worship like زكاة. فهي عبادة لله تعالى بأداء جزء من المال النامي غالبا لمن هم في حاجة إليها. It is an act of worship dedicated to Allah by taking a part of the wealth that has grown, you know, has been saved, and giving it to those who are in need of it. أو في المسلمين حاجة إليهم كبعض المؤلفة قلوبهم, or those who among the Muslims are new in Islam and you need to kind of bring their hearts together to love Islam. You know, either someone who's not a Muslim and you want to يعني, encourage them to enter into Islam, or a new Muslim who's, you know, not really firm on the deen. So giving them gifts and presents and stuff like that, huh, will get them all happy and stuff. This is a fact. And some people يعني, have a problem. They say, oh, some of these non-Muslims are becoming Muslims because, you know, they want the dunya and they're only trying to say that. Hey, this is the sunnah though. You know, one of the non-Muslims during the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, the Messenger of Allah continued to give me, and continued to give me, and continued to give me until he was more beloved to me than anyone else on the planet. He wasn't a bilhid, he didn't love the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, but he continued to deal with him with generosity until it struck in his heart that this is the Messenger of Allah. And he started loving him, loving his deen, and became a good Muslim.
Who is he?
I don't recall his name. I could give you the reference, inshallah, in a future event, بإذن الأبشر. I've read it more than once, but I don't remember the name of the Sahabi. Anyways, so it is actually, Allah gave him a portion of the zakah. وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ They fall under this category, and the eight who are qualified for zakah. Everybody knows them, inshallah. المسكين والفقير وإلى آخرين. طيب. المهم, that this is the zakah. والنوع الثاني, this is in terms the nature, the status of that particular thing. النوع الثاني حكمة في الغاية من الحكم. حكمة meaning the wisdom behind the ruling. So حكمة is the nature of the act of worship itself. That Allah legislated that when you do salah, you stand, you bow, you do sujood, there's hikmah in there. There's wisdom in that. Just in the physical movement, physical appearance, outwardly. Furthermore, there's wisdom behind the ruling. What do you benefit? حيث إن جميع أحكام الله تعالى غايات حميدة وثمرات جليلة. Because every one of the rulings and the judgments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the legislative, have praiseworthy outcome, outcomes, and fruits, beneficial fruits, things that you reap in return. فانظر إلى حكمة الله في حكمه الكوني. حيث يصيب الناس بالمصائب العظيمة لغايات حميدة. He says, look for example in the wisdom of Allah in His universal judgment, where He makes the calamities, He allows or He sends the calamities and make them befall upon the creation for good outcomes, for the good outcome. كقوله تعالى, as Allah says in the Quran in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 41. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Allah says corruption has appeared on the land and in the sea as a result of what the people have earned with their hands, for Allah to make them taste some of the consequences of their actions. Perhaps they will return to Allah. Perhaps they will return. So the calamities that fall upon the believers are means for them to repent to Allah. And you may have a personal experience, huh? Maybe you started sinning. You know, you have, you know yourself what shortcomings you have that you always fall into and you're continually struggling against, huh? So at some point you start taking it easy too much with a particular sin. You know it's not right and you continue to do it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something, a punishment. You will feel it, you will know. Something will happen to you, an accident, something along these lines, and you will think to yourself, I think Allahu A'lam, but I think this is because of that. This is because of that. What is the first thing you do? Say, I repent to Allah. Oh Allah, I don't want to do this anymore. This time I'm going to leave it alone for sure. Why? Because that very calamity that may have cost you wealth, cost you health, it may have been something, because you know that it is probably because of your sin, then you wind up repenting to Allah. So that very calamity becomes goodness for you. Otherwise you may have continued to do the sin until you met Allah in this case, and you'll be responsible for it on the Day of Judgment. So by the calamity, first your sin is expiated, because you'll be given the punishment in the dunya. Because the punishment is even given to you today or postponed till later on. Huh? First your punishment is erased, second you repent to Allah from that very sin. So then calamity becomes goodness from Allah to you. But those of us who have short sight and don't have enough patience, they complain. Why has happened to me? Ya akhi, have patience. Maybe this is good for you. Maybe this, and it is at the end of the day. Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It's amazing, the affair of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرُهُ كُلُّ خَيْرٍ. His affair is all good. If a calamity befalls upon him, he is patient, and this is good for him. And if goodness comes upon him, he is thankful to Allah, and this is good for him, and this is only for the believer. So whatever happens to us, it is good for the believers. For the non-Muslims, it's not the same. So that's why we should try to preserve our Islam, inshallah. So we'll be always in state of goodness. Anywho, so here is an indication that calamities will befall upon us, and for us to return to Allah. And they said, like in the Philistine again, they said that the masajid during Fajr and many of the prayers, they were really a limited number of brothers who were attending the masajid while there was peace. Now that there's bombings and they're bombing the masajid and killing the people are crowding the masajid. The brothers are praying the masajid. Hey, subhanallah.
So, because the masjid already collapsed.
Hey, I mean, for those who collapsed, hey. Brothers now are doing jama'ah, although they were in the time of rest, abandoned jama'ah. Now when you're supposed to hide at home, they're going outside to do the salah. So here, this is an example, this became means of them returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Afwan. المهم الشيخ said, ففيها رد لقول من يقول إن أحكام الله تعالى ليست لحكمة بل هي لمجرد مشيئته. He said, with this verse, this is a refutation, يعني a reply, a response, against those who say that the ruling, the judgment of Allah is not because of wisdom, He just does it because He wills. That Allah does whatever He wills, but just because He wills it, not because there's wisdom behind it. So this verse is a refutation of that, because Allah says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Perhaps they will return. يعني return to the obedience of Allah. وَفِيهَا هَذِي الْآيَةِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ الْعَلِيمُ وَالْحَكِيمُ. Now this is the methodology of the Shaykh. Every time we deal with the verse, he will give us a summary at the end. The summary will deal with the following three. First, what are the names that we learn? What are the names that we learn? What are the attributes? Ahsant. What are the attributes that we learn? Because we said that the attributes are more vast than the name. One name can contain many attributes. طيب. Sometimes the attribute is not necessarily a name. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no sleep overtakes him. Now you cannot say one of the names of Allah is لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. But it is an attribute of Allah. But you say one of the names of Allah is Al-Hakim, Al-Qawi, Al-Aziz, and what have you. طيب. So he will mention the attributes, the first the name, second attributes, thirdly, what do we benefit? How does that benefit you in your life? How does that improve your iman? Otherwise, there's no point in me sitting here, no point in you attending. If me and you are going to come in here and leave the same way we came in, we're just wasting each other's time. Obviously, we need to implement this in our lives, benefit from what we're learning. So, and this is the part that I really want you to write down. If you're not interested in writing down other things, because whatever, you like to listen more than write, this is your business, I'm not going to interfere with that. But at least this part, I encourage you to write for future reference. So anytime you come across these names or attributes, remember what to benefit and things of this sort. Yani you will have a future reference, inshallah. Al-Muhim, from the names of Allah is Al-Aleem. والحكيم وفيها هذه الآية من أسماء الله العليم والحكيم, the all knowing and the all wise, or the ultimate judge. ومن صفاته, from the attributes of Allah, العلم, knowledge, الحكمة, wisdom or judgment. وفيها من الفوائد المسلكية, and among the يعني practical benefits, maybe that's a good way to put it, practical benefits, أن الإيمان بعلم الله وحكمته يستلزم الطمأنينة التامة لما حكم به من أحكام كونية وشرعية. Believing, having knowledge or having faith in the ultimate knowledge of Allah and Allah's wisdom brings about tranquility. tranquility, ultimate peace and tranquility pertaining to whatever Allah had decreed, whether in this universe or in His law. You feel good. You feel? That's why they say, yani Islam, when they break it down, that among the things that it you know, submission, huh, with surrendering and what have you, will lead you to peace. Being in peace with yourself, being in peace with the judgment of Allah. Where no matter what happens to you, you will never think anything evil, because you know that Allah is the most wise and He's the ultimate judge. This happened with the knowledge of Allah and with the judgment and the wisdom of Allah. So it's going to be good for you sooner or later. You feel tranquility, you don't panic. Because people usually panic. لِصُدُورِ ذَلِكَ عَنْ عِلْمٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ. Because this is only the result of Allah's knowledge and wisdom. فَيَزُولُ عَنْهُ الْقَلَقِ النَّفْسِيِّ وَيَنْشَرِحُ صَدْرُهُ. So the emotional stress will be removed and your chest will be open. Yani accepting, open in the sense where it accepts the decree of Allah and the ruling of Allah. When the hadith comes to you from the Prophet ﷺ, if you truly believe in Allah's hikmah, that Allah is the most wise, and that everything that He legislated is for wisdom, then you will have no problem submitting. You will have no problem submitting, because you know that this came from Allah. Your chest will be open. Like pertaining to drinking while sitting down or things of the sort, where some person will tell you why and what does it matter, and you know, he may not know, but they made studies and they found out that eating and drinking while standing actually causes problems to your digestive system and things of the sort. So someone who truly believes does not need to wait to this point for the scientists to discover for him to implement. He knows Allah is the most wise. If Allah made this part of our deen, then He just does it ala tul, regardless of whether the people like it or not. Because you know, his chest is open. Because he trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the most wise in His judgment. And this pertaining everything in our deen, everything that we're prohibited from doing or commanded to do, is for goodness for us. If you truly believe in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your chest will be open. This is very important for us to understand that. The next verse actually deals with Al-Alim, Al-Khabir. It's in Surah Al-Tahrim, the second verse, the first three. Because earlier we did Al-Alim Al-Hakim, and now we'll be doing Al-Alim Al-Khabir. I believe it's best to postpone it, inshallah, till next week, just in case there are some questions right now. And with this we will conclude this session. Whatever I said that was right was success given to me by Allah. Whatever I made, mistakes I made, is from myself. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send the peace and the blessings upon Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, shadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.